This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What on earth, one might reasonably wonder, are we doing in church on this Easter Monday morning? Most of the brethren, quite prudently and understandably, are taking a little bit of rest after the intense days of Holy Week. After all, ours is a most complete Holy Week, particularly in a parochial setting, and the presence of the bishop makes it ever so much more complicated, of course. And there are only a few people, relatively speaking, who do so very much, and as we like to say, so very well, here also at St. Gertrude the Great. But we are in church today, resisting perhaps the temptation to rest, and certainly resisting as much as possible the, not the temptation, but the seeming obligation that the day after Easter, secular life must return quite to normal. That was the Easter weekend, and now it's the work week again. We're here to resist all of that and to continue the celebration. The Italians call today Pasquetta, which means Little Italy, and it is a holiday in its own right. Still in some countries in Europe, Easter Monday is, and Easter Monday and Easter Tuesday are feasts of devotion. They used to be until not that long ago, just a few centuries. They used to be holy days of obligation. One of the Slavic peoples, I forget if it's the Polish or the Russian, and of course one mustn't confuse them even on an Easter Monday, call Easter Monday Bright Monday. And so here we are bright-eyed, a little bit bleary-eyed perhaps as well, to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on this day. It is a continuation, the octave is, throughout 8 days from Saturday through Saturday, of all of the glorious things of the most stupendous event in human history and of the great victory that has been won. It wouldn't be enough just to celebrate it for one day. That's the idea of an octave as we have them throughout the year. Consider as we continue not just the work, the singing and the serving and the rest, I mean, but also as we continue the contemplation and truly the spiritual celebration, consider that this is really the Catholic way to approach life. And it is meant to be, at the same time, a time of celebration and of rest and the opportunity to prolong our own devotion, almost a kind of a contemplation, if you will. And so, in the old days of Christendom, for centuries and centuries, you know that up to about one-third of the year was a feast day, one way or another. And it was a day on which servile work was not done, and there was celebration, and there was rest, as well as a more solemn liturgical life to keep all of the feast days of the church. And that's really the Catholic viewpoint of life. And we're clinging, sort of at the very ledge, just by our fingertips, to a little bit that's left, and we're saying, no, we don't want to give that up, and we won't. The world, Dame World, as Pius Parsh calls the world, Dame World's got enough of us as it is. We want to give something still to the good God, and no, nothing is ever enough. The lesson of Mary Magdalene is a lesson, too, of Mother Church. But it's a continuation because you wouldn't be able to get it all in on one day. There's just too much. And so yesterday afternoon at Vesper time, today's long gospel from St. Luke took place, our Lord's trip to Emmaus and the opening of the eyes of the disciples, St. Luke and St. Cleophas. That the opening of the eyes is very important. Yesterday in the Lauds and again at the Vespers and all week long, we're thinking about the opening of the tomb. And that's enough to think about. The soldiers, the earthquake, the light, and the holy women. And so all week long we contemplate that at dawn and dusk, which are Easter times. But today we have this long gospel about the opening of something else, the opening of our eyes, because sometimes our eyes get to be closed too. What wonderful stories of sacred scripture. What an encouragement to the reading of the Bible, especially these days. That might seem counterindicated, but that's spiritual reading, or we call it Lectio Divina. To understand and to have our eyes opened a little bit more, to be refreshed too spiritually, to feed on our Lord in his own sacred word and sort of put the pieces together. We do that during the Easter octave as well. But the eyes are opened of the two disciples because not just that they were studying scripture and discussing it, sort of a Bible study class, if you will. That's not enough. The next stage that's required is that virtue that's inculcated throughout Holy Week, throughout the church year, but especially maybe at the Maundy, the virtue of charity. And so it's drawing towards evening. It's the Vesper hour of Easter Sunday afternoon, and our Lord makes as though he's going to continue his trip, even as he's hidden his divinity from these two, and they invite him to stay to supper at some local restaurant. And our Lord says, no, I've got to be going, is exactly the way you would say it. Oh, no, I really couldn't. And they force him. St. Gregory says, you have to do that with hospitality. You have to insist. You have to almost force people. The Italians understand that very well, but that's another great Catholic truth that we seem to have forgotten today. So they force our Lord in. They force his charity, their charity on him, and they're rewarded for that, for their seeking of Christ in Scripture, for their serving of Christ in this unknown brethren. How are they rewarded? Well, at the very end, it's not the Bible. At the very end, it's not even charity. At the very end of the gospel, what a reward. There's the Mass. They knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread, and that's the original name for the sacrifice of the Mass. And that all took place yesterday afternoon. But today, Easter Monday, is dedicated to the contemplation of that. May your Easter week be a continuation of this very, very great contemplation. And may we all of us keep the world at least a little bit at a distance and give way to that wonderful invitation to some contemplation. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.